Hello. It's your girl Persephone, and I'm back on Moon Talk Radio. I know you guys have to forgive me, my audience of supporters and sponsors, for how long it has literally taken for me to be able to sit here and deliver another winning podcast to you. One thing I did notice is that my most recent episode, it's just like 2 years ago, has the most plays on it. So I definitely feel like towards the end there, you guys were paying a lot more attention maybe to some of the things that stirred inside of my psyche. It may also be stirring inside of yours. I know at one point in time, I ruffled a lot of feathers. And I just want to start this podcast by saying hi. My name is Persephone Graydale. And you can just call me Persephone or Gray or Adele. All of my names work great for me. I am a Native American, African American, queer woman living in New York City. And I am speaking from that perspective. So you just have to forgive me if things seem slanted or somehow discolorful. My intention is not to offend. My intention is to enlighten people about perspectives in life that may be a lot different from their own. And considering that my heritage has been here for thousands and thousands of years, I feel very emotionally connected to the earth in general, but especially this land, this country, and everything that God has been blessing me to experience and to witness and to feel and see, to understand about myself, about us as a human race of people, is my main intention always. It's never to stab at any group of people or make people feel belittled in themselves. I celebrate all cultures, all walks of life. If you know anything about me, you know I frown at the bully and just people that berate people and don't give them the room to express fully who they are as individuals. I wanted to start with the sounds because it's welcoming, it's healing, and it's the perfect way to introduce yourself into relaxing. You know, this is Moon Talk Radio. And on Moon Talk Radio, I don't want you to feel high strung. I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness, what's that next hurtful thing she's about to say? I have a Mars in Scorpio and a Saturn in Scorpio, so some things can seem intense if you know anything about astrology. And I have Pluto in the fifth house, and I am a Leo. So by all that, I just mean that the divine is working in my life in a very Plutonian way. My planets all line up in the sense I have Gemini rising with a Cancer moon and Leo sun and Mercury and Virgo and Mars and Scorpio. All of those are pretty much domicile. So this idea of just getting the download, feeling whatever it is to feel about it, and wanting to get it to you to make you think and open your mind to it is really my goal. Never to make you feel uncomfortable. I know it came down to priorities when I first started this podcast. It was during a very heightened time. We were in the middle of a pandemic. It was literally like Noah's Ark, the end of the world thing happening. And so emotions were heightened. On top of the fact that I was dealing with a lot of cancerous thoughts inside of myself, how I felt about myself up until that point, what lies I had fed myself about society, what we all do, and where to hold myself accountable for the choices that I made versus the choices that were forced upon me, recognizing the difference between the two. You know, sometimes when you're dealing with, particularly because I have to speak on what I know knowledge about, the spectrum of any sort, whether it's like a mental spectrum, a racial spectrum, a sexual spectrum, or like the LGBTQ, 2IA plus community spectrum, anything with a spectrum to it, it's causing you to think and evaluate outside of the status quo and how you feel about the status quo, fitting in or not fitting into it, is playing into your sense of validation. First in this country, then in this land, because they're not necessarily the same thing. And so, you know, sometimes when I'm conversing with people, or people are searching for the knowledge to get to these heightened dimensions, whether it's in themselves or it's because of someone that they're related to, they want to connect. You know, a lot of it is like, well, why did it take so long? Or why are you just now getting to this place? And well, the truth is, it's all in divine timing, right? For everyone, it's divine timing. One thing's for sure I do agree with when it comes to the queer lifestyle, I don't know as much with sexuality, but with gender, you do know, a lot of the times, you do know before puberty kicks in. Puberty and Scorpio and all of that is a death from childhood to adolescence to adulthood. It's a natural transformation if you live long enough to experience it. It's inevitable. You will die. You will transform into an adult. And that part of your life, the childhood, will be immortalized and frozen as such. And so a lot of queer people or trans people really do know when they're younger, because it's what you're identifying with, you know, what you like, what colors you like, how you see yourself, childhood politics even, how boys treat you or girls treat you, or just children in general, children that you know, your siblings, your cousins, children you don't know, strangers, people at church, all kinds of stuff. So it's a moon moment. This is Moon Talk Radio, right? So I can talk about this. It's a moon moment. The moon is talking about your reactions, and the sun is talking about your actions. Your rising is your perspective in life. That's like tunnel vision. You came out of your mom, you see things, look who's talking, you know, you hear this voice inside your own head. Really, that voice inside your own head, which is the Aries energy, never goes away. Even after you die, your consciousness will live on. So it's a part of you that is beyond death that has been created. And that part of you may have already existed, but when you reach this dimension, here come the men in black, won't let you remember. Right, those memories are taking from you. It's like the idea that you are an ovary, or were an ovary, inside of your great-great-grandmother. So, in other words, a lot of the things that your great-great-grandmother was experiencing in her karma, right, is affecting your karma. It's affecting your spirit, which is individual and connected to a larger source. Your soul is connected to a larger source, could be a spirit or spirits. But your body is something that's given to you, and you don't actually get to decide. You may be able to influence it, but that all depends on your relationship with the divine higher consciousness. Of course, I would encourage you to believe in a divine higher consciousness in order to get to that mind frame and that state of being. when you don't believe in a higher consciousness, whatever you call it, I call it Zay, Zay Trinity. It can be anything. It could be Muhammad, Allah, Jehovah. It could be God. It could be anything that God is not stupid, right? I think we always try to water God down. And we try to like pacify her God, like we need to over-explain ourselves. God doesn't care about any of those things. God cares about your heart and your mindset. What is the intention, right? It's something that I've been dealing with a lot. And so I just wanted to start this podcast off with my intention to heal past woes, wrongs, hurts, misunderstandings. You know, no one wants to be misunderstood. It's just something that happens. And a lot of the times it happens based on emotion, heritage, privilege, status quo, connection, expectation, assumption, cooperation, participation, coordination. I mean, there's so many aspects that are playing in sinistry into how we perceive or our loved ones, our strangers, and what we think that they mean. Sometimes when you hear one triggering thing, it's a snowball effect, and then everything after that is this hurtful thing that someone said. How dare they, you know? And you have to dig a little deeper sometimes. I think at one point in time, I needed to grasp society's attention. And that was because it was about my mattering, you know? In 2020, it came down to Pride being canceled, a president that basically did everything but say Black lives don't matter, signs of trans lives mattering, the Native American pipeline, me being Cherokee and Shawnee, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and a quarantine, as well as us wearing masks and staying 6 feet away from each other as New Yorkers. You know, I didn't have a car. I could just get in and keep that separate existence. And other cities, I believe, maybe it didn't have as much of a weight to it. But as New Yorkers, we really should be so proud of ourselves for being able to listen, being smart enough to realize we have to heed to these restrictions or it's just going to get worse. You know, having the ship that was separate just for like hospital emergencies so that people who just needed to go to the hospital and weren't infected by COVID wouldn't be contaminated with it. All of this stuff is exceptional stuff. Way to go, New York. Excelsior. I'm seeing 3:44 p.m. right now. And 44 has been such a huge theme in my life for a couple years now. So whenever I see 44 or 1111, or I see like 555-333-444 angel numbers, I know I'm on the right path with whatever it is that I'm trying to share with you. I want to start out with the transits first. I did a little bit of an outline. I don't want to go into a ramble. I want to stay structured and still hit the points and be able to reach you in the sincerest ways possible. Okay, so the transits. Let's start with the moon. The moon is transiting Capricorn right now with Mercury in Capricorn in retrograde, and Pluto is at the end of Capricorn. So Capricorn is popping, right? It's popping right now. Capricorn rules time. Capricorn rules hard work. The moon transiting in Capricorn is like a strong sense of focus on the career and your ambitions, an awareness of limits and restrictions somehow. It's more serious in the demeanor, more discipline. But there's structure being built that's lasting because Capricorn is hinting at masterfulness, and it's Capricorn. The moon is at its detriment in Capricorn in the sense that Capricorn doesn't want to feel all that stuff, right? The devil card in the tarot opposes the chariot. So that's Cancer and Capricorn. Well, the devil card, the positive of Capricorn is, let's stay right here, right now. Let's enjoy the earth and all the resources we have on it. Let's think about what we need for society, for our people, right here, right now, right here, right now. All we have is now. The progression from that is Aquarius, which is, let's think of the ideal thing. Let's think of the future and how much better it could be. Uranus comes along and says, you always did it this way? Ew, yuck, Capricorn, right? Capricorn is more traditional, more wants the cold, hard, solidified structure. Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn and wants you to have this thing. It doesn't want to restrict it from you. It just wants you to earn it. You said you wanted to be a doctor. You're in your sixth year and Saturn doesn't care that your boyfriend broke up with you. You have an exam tomorrow and you better pass it. You got two more years to go. That's kind of how Capricorn plays out. And with the moon being there, the moon is saying, I feel. So even in yourself right now, you may feel like transiting that this isn't the time for you to be overly emotional, or you may feel the need somehow to suppress your emotions. You may be rethinking some behavior because Mercury is in retrograde in Capricorn. And Mercury in Capricorn is like a vibe shift from Mercury in Sagittarius, which is like more woo, playful, let's like get crazy, to a grounded, practical, masterful, like I said before. It's less chaos. It's more quiet, more focused, more, I'm trying to get this thing done. Stop bothering me. There might be something pressing, something important in your spirit. You might have a project. The fact that I'm launching Moon Talk Radio again is completely unexpected. I've thought of doing this for months, for about 2 months. I've been sitting on it. And then all of a sudden I woke up this morning, was crying tears about something else and led to this path where I started writing down an outline to get ready to communicate to you. Here I am. I'm now talking to you. You know, that's so just, I have Jupiter in Capricorn. So there's this explosion, right, that's happening. I have Gemini rising and Mercury in Virgo. So Mercury is ruling my chart. This idea of retrograde, rethink, restate, get more logic out of it. So I think one of the most important things for me, logically, with Pluto being in Capricorn as well, since 2008, and Pluto is going to leave Capricorn around January 20th of next year, 2024, for like 20 years, 21 years, it's done. So this has been since 2008. That's pretty much since the recession. Think about what your cross has been that you've been bearing for like over a decade. Like you've been waiting for these breakthroughs. It's been like, whoa, like 15 years of this, right? That's almost my entire time in New York. I moved to New York July 3rd of 2006. And right away, I hit the ground running and it was an explosive time for me and my career. And then things plateaued out and I just sustained myself for a while. And now I'm getting to a place where I'm about to erupt again in this way, right? Masterfully, like, haha, this is what I've been doing all this time. I didn't want to rush into anything. I wanted you to be able to hear and sense the difference in my demeanor, spirit, voice, as far as how I was when I first started this podcast and the urgency around it, compared to how I am now, what I got out of it, how I'm growing, I created this platform years ago in order to use it as a reference to come back to. Because Moon Talk Radio in itself is talking about your mindset. Gemini rules the brain and the hands, both lobes of the brain, Gemini rising. But Cancer Moon, that's my moon, is domicile. And it's in the first house, which is the house of identity. I have no Aries in me at all. It's an empty spot. It's a blind spot. So the first house with Cancer Moon being there is very significant as far as the premonitions and the visions and the emotions that come up to basically connect with Aquarius, connect with the community. Aquarius starts my ninth house at 0 degrees, and it rules my ninth and 10th house with my midhaven in the 10th house in Aquarius. So this idea of like helping the community somehow, I very much have felt like, and I don't take it lightheartedly, but bearing this cross or being this example, you know, gray is still a large part of me. Yes, my name is Persephone. It is Persephone Gray Dale. Gray still stands for Girls Really Are Yearning. And I still very much stand for all those things that the podcast first started talking about all those years ago, like 2-3 years ago. It's just more resonant inside of me, right? I think when you first start, it's so important to you. It's hard to be practical about it. You just want to get it out there. You want to reach people's hearts. Now I'm at a place where I'm like, okay, I'm sitting more in myself, in my ladyship, in my womanhood. I have my mom. I have my grandma. I have my best friend of 22 years. I have my older friends of 25 years. A lot of the people that have been in my life my entire life, way before New York, are the people who lasted. You know, I lost a lot of friends. Maybe even some friends that don't even realize they're lost. And that's because I died. It's like, you know, have a funeral to that whole aspect of myself. To wake up to the idea that I was masked was not deliberate. You know, I wasn't raised Catholic. I was raised in the church, though. Protestant, Church of God in Christ, Christians of the Third Power. My grandfather was the pastor of a church. My grandmother was the first lady. I was heavily influenced by that. I lived in the Bible Belt for over a decade at one point in my life. I'm from Ohio. I've lived in Georgia, North Carolina. I fell in love and moved to California a couple years ago and came back. I've lived in Orlando with my sister. I've lived in New York since 2006, except for the 1 year I fell in love and left. So the experience is there, you know, spiritually, physically. I graduated from high school at 17, college at 21, and moved to New York. You know, a lot of girls want to know how that was possible for me. And it was because I used the educational system. You know, we're not the same as the masculine. I don't think I would have had the security and the daringness to just do it. So it does have a lot to do with who you relate to and your connections. I chose to do the educational route, getting into University of North Carolina School of the Arts for acting, then coming back for dance, the networking, the mentorship, the friends. I mean, the person that I lived with my freshman year of college is the person that I moved in with in New York City, my freshman year of life, right? So it's like synastry. You really are building on something. So shout out to Cameron Crummett and the Crummett family, to so many families that have helped me along the way, and you know who you are. But those simple structures, are really the things that I've been healing from. You know, I still have all of my memories from this most recent life, but I died and I was reborn and I'm in a higher dimension, a better version of myself. I'm in a place of more spirituality constantly. It's the Hierophant. When I walk outside, I smell a flower. I see the sunrise. I see clouds. I hear voices. I'm so much more connected to just spirit. Spirit is making you speak. So anything that you say, how you say it, why you say it, is coming from a source inside of you. And that's that first house Aries kind of energy. Some people are more reflective when they have water placements in like the fire placements, right? I have a moon in the first house and Pluto in the fifth house. More water in my chart than anything, but in that, I'm still a Leo. I'm a July Leo, July 26th. So just coming out with it. Being forthright is the best approach to me. Venus is in Scorpio right now. We're still talking about transits. With Venus being in Scorpio, she's at her detriment. So The moon is at its detriment in Capricorn, and Venus is at her detriment in Scorpio, because Scorpio is ruled by Pluto. It's Plutonian. So it's about possession. The biggest thing is never wanting to let you go kind of love. It's like she's feeling like there might not be another chance for this. So she's trying to hold on to it as tightly as possible. The whole, let's get a tattoo together. Put my name on your body. Give me some of your blood. Angelina Jolie style. Billy Bob Thornton. And I'm going to wear it. Like that whole thing. The intensity of it. The clinging. The sink my teeth into you. Like deep gaze. You may love someone, but then Venus and Scorpio comes along. And you just start to love them even more. Somehow, right? And that can be playing into Pluto. Pluto being in Capricorn at the end of Capricorn. What Pluto's doing right now, Pluto is talking about deeper connections, right? It brings things out in you and your lover. It might be something unflattering about your partner that transforms the relationship somehow. That's very Plutonian. Or it could be the opposite of that. You love them more because you see their shadow side. You understand that they are real and flawed, and you appreciate that about them more when you find out that, oh, they're jealous or they're insecure about you talking to other people, or it could be all kinds of things, something from the past that influences their perspective or your perspective on them. And it's not something that you can overlook, right? So think about COVID and everything that happened. Pluto was in Capricorn that entire time. As a matter of fact, a lot of planets were in Capricorn in 2020. Jupiter was in Capricorn. That's transit, that's natal for me. Saturn was in Capricorn, Venus was in Capricorn, Pluto was in Capricorn, and Mercury was in Capricorn, all at some point in time, I believe, in 2020. And it shows. It shows because everything was locked down. Capricorn is talking about resources and finance and masterfulness, and you couldn't even take grandma. I mean, you couldn't take the kids to go play in the playground without coming back to kill grandma or put her in danger. Like, grandma couldn't be watching the kids, really. Like, it was like, really, and that's related to time and Saturn, and that's dimensional too. Death is not really something that you should fear, and I know that's a big topic that I won't touch on right now, but it's really just transformation. It's kind of like what I was saying before about your baby thoughts. Before you even learn how to speak or say cookie or mommy and daddy, you're thinking cookie. You're thinking mommy and daddy. So there's this part of you, the inner voice inside of you, that's not going away. That's a part of you. And I think it's very confusing to us as humans sometimes. We think that it's the end. Death is not the end. You are still going to feel things, and you will still have the potential for pain and pleasure. It just might not be manifested in the same way, in the same reality. Maybe it's not the same kind of physical, social, mental, emotional type of pain or pleasure, but it's still affecting you somehow, right? So that's kind of like what's happening with us with the transits. Mercury is going to go retrograde back into Sagittarius on the 23rd of December. So things might get joking, playful, and silly again. And then come January 13th, 2023, it returns to Capricorn. And, you know, it'll be direct then instead of it being in this retrograde like it is now in Capricorn. So whatever it is that we're doing, especially these next few days, this next week, will be revisited again in a clearer way. Because you know when Mercury's in retrograde, it's like not necessarily the best time to send things, to start something new. But it is a great time to revise and rethink and replan. And look, I'm back on the podcast. suddenly and unexpectedly revising, rethinking, and replanning. So I'm just an example of where a lot of us might be right now in our lives. Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about politics, but I just wanted to hint on, obviously, things that are going on in Israel and that Gaza Strip and the war is affecting the world. These are worldly matters. And once again, is hinting at Capricorn, because Capricorn is talking about not wanting to feel. That's why Mars is exalted in Capricorn. And Mars is at its fall in Cancer, because Mars wants. And Mars is saying, I don't care. I don't care how long we have to do it, as long as I get what I want. And that's kind of what Mars and Capricorn is hinting at, right? Capricorn's like, in time. And Mars is like, okay, as long as, you know, I get it, you know, and kind of like not looking at the emotions can be a positive or a negative depending on the circumstance, right? If you're at work or you're on a business retreat, you might want to save the emotional breakdown for your counselor or your sister when you get home in the kitchen and you're talking during the holidays, right? So it's hinting at like just a time and place for things and being able to ignore emotion is not always a positive thing, right? It can be, like if you're in the military or something like that and it's masterful, or if you have some man that knows how to manipulate your feelings and you finally learn that he's a liar and this is who he is and this is how he's gonna be, then hey, kudos to you for mastering that. Or it can be a very negative thing. People are crying and screaming for help and mercy and you're ignoring that and ignoring the fact that you're the source of the pain in somebody's life, trapping them, continuing to perpetuate a negative outcome because you want to. Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is karma. Saturn is in Pisces and is transiting Pisces right now, which is the Eight of Cups, which is part of strength. So it's hinting at Leo as well. Saturn doesn't have any power really in Pisces, right? Saturn is this planet of karma. In Pisces, you're hinting at subconscious lessons. It's a great time for exploration, like the explorative jobs, like going to the moon, going, you know, to the depths of the ocean, understanding how our psyches work. It's also a very judgmental time. And having the strength to face things. You know, Saturn, it just doesn't have much power, so it's not able to provide the results. There's no guarantee that you're going to get out of it what you want to in the time that you want to. There's no practicality to it. Although you may still be benefiting from it in the long run. Also, it could be very dictatorial in that sense, right? It's like, this is what's best, period. World peace. You're like, I still want to fight. World peace. You know? That's kind of like the beyond moment, right? Because the subconscious is what Pisces is ruling. And that's affecting everybody on the planet. Everybody has feelings, wants, desires, dreams. Everybody, you know, is awake and is asleep. And everybody has this divine wisdom to them and this sense of illusion and aloofness as well. And all of that is hinting at what's Piscean. It's real if it's real to you, right? If you're feeling it, then it's being felt. And so that's kind of tying into demographically what we're dealing with in the world right now. Fun fact about the moon. I want to try to do certain things on these podcasts, so I might be jumping around to make sure I get certain things done. The fun fact about the moon. What's our fun fact about the moon today? Our fun fact about the moon is that supposedly the moon and the earth were made at the same time. How powerful is that? Now, I think that they said that the moon is about 4.6 billion years old. So if the moon is about 4.6 billion years old, that means that what? That the Earth is pretty much that same age, right? Exactly. So that's a really powerful thought. The fun fact is, it is believed that the moon and the Earth were formed at the same time from the same nebulae that created the planets. The moon, being smaller, was probably captured by the Earth's gravity. Something else that I wanted to point at there is that it's a dual planet partnership between the moon and the Earth. By that, I mean that, you know, a lot of people give the moon this connotation that it's a satellite. The moon is not a satellite. It's more than a satellite, right? They're going around a point together. The moon and the Earth are going around a point together in space and time. So it's not like the Earth is just revolving around itself, revolving around the sun, which is revolving around itself, being influenced by Jupiter. Jupiter is exalted in Cancer, right? Which is home for the moon. The moon is revolving around a point with the Earth simultaneously. They need each other. If we lose our moon, we will die. I think that's a very important thing that we should talk to each other about. It's not just a rock in the sky. The moon is manipulating the tide on the planet just like it's manipulating the 72% water inside of you. So needless to say, it's talking about reflection. Also, having a Cancer moon in the first house, this idea of research and filling it out, what's the truth about history? It comes a lot to me in subconscious development, right? You know, yes, I am Native American, but I also have Kenyan blood on my grandmother's side, which is a mitochondrial DNA. So when I woke up to myself and I began and I died and I started that process of transitioning, now in my ladyship, in my womanhood, in my truth, and I have the moon and I'm connected to her and she's connected to me. The mitochondrial DNA inside of me was activated. So there's a way of being and thinking that I could never return to. And that's the death of it. That's the Scorpio of it. I have Mars and Saturn in Scorpio. So this idea that it's something I have to surrender to, right? It's like, well, why is it so important to her? Girl, it's so important because I care about you. Boy, if you only knew how many times I have cried over where we are in the world and societally and how lost we feel as a people. God has blessed me with this telepathic and empathic ability that has been amplified. And what I'm sensing is you think that the phone is smarter than you. I'm gonna sit with that for a minute and let you just feel it. You think the phone is smarter than you. That's dangerous. Because the phone doesn't have the judgment that you have. You're a divine being having a human experience. And there may come a time where AI is a large part of our lives. If you don't see spirit in an animal, then you're definitely not going to see spirit in a robot. But you have metal inside of you. So I'm just going to put that out there for food for thought. Because it's connected to the moon. I said to put the satellite on the moon. Can you imagine how insulted our moon must feel to have a satellite floating in space next to it, trying to compete with the abilities of what the moon itself does? Just food for thought when you're thinking of a higher consciousness and how it might feel about us as a society of people. We're arrogant. The stone that I chose for this particular reading is tektite. Tektite is a meteorite. It's made from a meteorite, right? It's like the meteor hit the earth and then melted the ground and stuff around it. And what they scraped and found is tektite. And tektite is really good when it comes to connecting to your spiritual realm, your spirit guides, and achieving clarity in that. It enhances peace and a sense of relaxation. It activates your third eye chakra, and it protects you from negative energy. In this day and age, we deal with a lot of negative energy, especially if you are a child that was born after the internet was created. So you might not actually remember Venetian times before it, before the analysis of the world. We have the looking glass. Neptune is in Pisces. We've had it there for some time. I can get on Instagram and look at a child playing in Indonesia with other children just because I feel like it. Like, we have this power. And then having this power is kind of created this hater energy to society, because now you have all these things you can think about having and what somebody has over you. And a lot of the stuff that you're viewing and experiencing isn't even real. It is dimensional, it's fake, and it's meant to provoke you. So if you don't have control of your Mars, which is wanting will, then it's easy for you to spiral into something that might not be so healthy for you in the long run, right? And how to get out of those mindsets, you might not be equipped if you don't have the right wife, mother, daughter, sister. The masculine obviously can help too, but there's a certain amount of emotional intelligence, and we are talking about Moon Talk Radio. So sometimes I will say, a lot of the times, we know as women that we need men, and it doesn't mean that we necessarily need you in some type of sexual way, because you could be lesbian, or you could be bi, you could be interested, you could be all kinds of stuff. But the recognition that we need a man to balance some aspect of our life is more innate. What we come to evolve to is that we need a person. We don't need a man. We want a man, and we need a person. Men tend to act more like they don't need women. That's a generalization, but through my observation, through my experiences surviving my 20s and 30s, through me being a queer woman in NYC on her own, and just the life, being educated, being an American girl, seeing it, it is something that it just comes down to a decision for a man sometimes. And, you know, like I always say, you don't have to necessarily make love or have sex with a woman, but there are two different mindsets, minimum two different mindsets, for a reason, right? Women think a certain way generally, men think another way. There's a spectrum within that, obviously. But it's hinting at the idea of two realities happening simultaneously, the masculine gaze and the feminine gaze. And that can be distributed differently throughout so many different heritages and sources of people. Like, that's like a husband and a wife going somewhere and having an experience, and they didn't have the same experience, whether they both enjoyed it or both didn't, or one enjoyed it and one didn't, and, you know, how they felt about it, the live music, the food, the everything is based on their perspective, not just their synastry, but also their gender. All of it is playing a large role in what makes them who they are. Now, this is December. This is Sagittarius season. So this is forgive me for that hurtful but accurate thing I said, period of time, right? Because that's Sag, brutal honesty. But also, very playful. Also, it could be very promiscuous or mischievous, that Don Juan energy, especially with the masculine. You know, you want to be touched more. It's colder out. It's getting cold and you're gearing up for the journey of cold winter. So this idea of who you want to be with, who you want to settle with, who, you know, you want to spend your time with, is it's a large factor. It's playing a large role in how you go about the season. You know, your journey, what you think of as success. Or Jupiterian, whether it's a man that's being that for you or whether it's a career, right? Both of those things are playing a large part. So it being the last of spirit is highlighting the higher consciousness. Hence, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, all of these feelings that come up from Sagittarius going into Capricorn. Our quote today, the quote for today is, loving yourself starts with liking yourself, which starts with respecting yourself, which starts with thinking of yourself in positive ways. The reason why I chose that particular quote for today was because I wanted to hint at the moon goal, and the moon goal today was the recovery of betrayal trauma. I want to apologize to anyone who feels like they may have experienced from that from me, because I know I have experienced it personally. Most of the time, betrayal trauma is coming from people that you do know and love in your life, not strangers, because you don't have the expectation from strangers that you do from people that you love, right? It could be cheating. It could be lies, abandonment. It could be anything. Pornography, someone recording you or someone watching porn and you're in a relationship with them and they're in the next room watching porn when they could just make love to you. I mean, it could be anything like that. Intimacy, anorexia, anger and silence, neglect. The results of that is an emotional shutdown, which is a fear center activation, intrusive thoughts and dreams, PTSD, just a massive spirit crash and disappointment, just completely crushed in your demeanor and in trusting yourself. Your memories are tainted now from this experience or from this person. And a lot of us go through this in a queer lifestyle. What I'll say a lot of times about being queer is everyone's queer. We're all queer. We're just queer in different ways. You know, some people are queer sexually. Some people are queer in their gender. Some people are queer in their wardrobe. Maybe they're just gender fluid or something. And, you know, maybe it's their gender identity. It's a drag queen. And everyone knows when they're in drag to use she, her pronouns. And when they're out of drag, it's okay to use he, him, or they, them. I mean, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. It has a lot to do with our feelings of self, and this new present situation that you're adapting to after you've experienced whatever betrayal trauma you think that you've experienced, whatever disappointment you had. And that could be coming from an expectation, like a Three of Swords moment. Maybe you didn't even realize you were expecting it. I found that I was expecting people to love me the way that I loved them. But here's the thing, I'm awesome and people aren't awesome, you know, it's just, so I had this high expectation and a lot of it can come from, you can blame it on a lot of things in my life, my daddy issues, my abandonment issues, the queer girl buried inside of me, my survival as a Native American, my survival as an African American, my survival as Black girl magic in NYC with no mom, with no man, with no family. You could blame it on my sense of ambition or my sense of accomplishment or lack thereof. I mean, you could say a lot of things about it. But the bottom line is, If you felt it, you're experiencing it. Yeah. So learning how to heal that starts with a conversation with yourself. I always say, I don't allow people to shrink my head or shrink my mind. Sometimes we as people, not just New Yorkers, but especially as New Yorkers, because it's hive living and we're stacked on top of each other, we will allow ourselves to keep those thoughts to ourselves. And that's not always healthy. I let myself go on my rant. I let myself talk to myself in my room, in the mirror. I say things and I forgive myself for the things that I said. You know, if I reevaluate it later, there's no one here. It's just me talking to myself. So people who are listening to me talk to myself are choosing to. So a lot of me talking to myself is establishing the power that my inner voice, my wants, needs, desires, and emotions come first in my reality. And a lot of people are missing that aspect, especially nowadays. Have you ever just tried to stay away from your phone for a period of time? With the moon in Capricorn and Mercury in retrograde right now in Capricorn, it's Plutonian for you to possibly stay away from it for a minute. See how long you can go without starting your day looking at your phone. Maybe try to just take an hour or two in the morning. Don't do it until a certain time, after you eat, after you have your coffee, just to take control of it. Not to say that you can't look at it, you can't do this, that, and the other. It's just to take control of it because it can be perpetuated. Stuff like betrayal trauma can be perpetuated in just like cruising, snooping, going into, oh, you're always on this person's page or account, but you're not actually following them. There's a lot of weird, creepy behavior like that. And it's better for you to just live out your truth. So for you, you're not really being honest with yourself about something emotionally because your actions aren't lining up with what it is that you feel. You could say you don't care about this person, but you're on their page every day. So that's a contradiction, right? So learning to live in that, why it's like that, is where the depth lies inside of yourself. Something that I've been saying, hurt people, right? That's a famous quote. Hurt people, yes, I know. But I wanna know why you want to hurt people. That's more important. Because the hurt people can hurt people, that can be a reaction. But wanting to hurt someone, that's Mars, that's deliberate. You want to do this. You want to behave this way. Where is that coming from and why is it coming from there? It's more important for you to know as a person doing it than it is for me to know, even as someone who may fall victim to it, right? Because at the end of it, I'm walking away from the situation unscathed. I decide how much it's affecting me, right? I could be in Jamaica drinking a piña colada, not thinking of you, and you could still be in New York City hating everything that I do, right? So the truth of it comes down to you, how you feel about it, right? Feelings aren't facts, but like my mom, best friend, told me once, happiness is a feeling, not a fact. And it's a fact whether you're happy or not, because it's noticeable. So in this case, sometimes feelings can't be facts, because you can see when someone's happy, it shows. And you can see when someone's not happy, it's also felt and shown, right? And so I think I understand the queer life of society. I understand all the fear that comes with society. This land is built on indigenous beliefs. Native Americans were above the endocrine system always. You know, I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but, you know, it's that same energy of the pilgrims coming over and being mad at the Native Americans here or feeling some type of way emotionally because they didn't have Gillette. And they didn't have hair on their faces. And they were naturally Venetian with hair down to their butt and close to the earth. And They're not coming from the same kind of concepts. They're not coming from Catholicism. They're not coming from colder climates that feel like they need to hoarder and keep things in until the warmer months. And culturally, it's just totally different. So this idea of being open-hearted, sharing, giving you of the land, teaching you how to survive on it, was innate, not to every tribe, but to a lot of tribes, right? They knew how to think with their heart. So that has been muffled by capitalism, sexism, and racism, because those things are insidious in America. So even if you want to ignore it, you will become capitalistic, sexist, or racist in ignoring it. Decide. Think about how you feel about something and decide. Be willing to change that variance, or to at least stay firm but tolerant in your belief system, and think about being a good-hearted person. And overall, you should end up in a fairly okay place. You know, something I will say, no matter how much I talk about how deep my roots are in this land, no one can take away your Americanisms. You are American. If you're born in America, you're here. You're here now. You're an American. So learning how to live in that can be more challenging for someone who may be first generation. And I know, because I've dated a lot of people who were first generation Portuguese, first generation Puerto Rican, first generation Mexican, first generation Colombian, first generation. I've seen it. I've seen it culturally. And so there's these two things happening. You have this heritage from your family, which is beautiful, which makes you who you are. And then you have this new concept, which is where you're at. And a lot of your family is learning from that, learning from you going to school, learning from TV, the news, which is already manipulated by the status quo. So it can be very hard for you to get to those conclusions always on your own. So being able to tap into the emotions and being practical about emotion is something that I strongly suggest when it comes to talking about delicate subjects that you might not understand, like trans rights, queer rights, or even racism. You know, it's like the saying says, I think it's easier to be born black than it is to be born gay, because when you're born black, you don't have to tell your mother. Right? It's this whole idea that it's there. It's on your sleeve. You're dealing with it. And I think that's kind of something that I naturally always had. You know, boys were always attracted to me. It was never a sexuality thing. It was childhood politics, right? If you didn't see me as a woman, or you didn't see me as femme, you definitely saw me as gay. So there wasn't this idea of like coming out of the closet. I never had that. Went through that. When I died and I realized what I've been doing to myself, some of the relationships in my life that was damaged, some of the men in my life that I loved so deeply and loved me and was waiting for that opportunity, when I destroyed that, when I missed those things, when I faced those things, there was a better me on the other side of it. Letting go of that control, just realizing that I too was responsible, and that I can only be responsible for how I behaved in the matter. Is the real root of what the moon talk is all about, yeah? Okay, so this is kind of like, I know I've jumped around on a lot, but I don't want to talk your ears off this first time around. I just want to introduce myself back into your lives, give you some things to think about, some things that I think are important for the now and going into 2024, especially with Pluto hitting Aquarius. I have Moon Talk Radio still on IG. And if you're looking for my art, you can look at Son of Lolita. That's SUNOFLOLITA on Instagram, or Moon Talk Radio for the Q&A section of some of my podcasts. If you have some questions or you want to comment on something, feel free to message me on there, or, you know, something like that. That's a great way. Comment on something, you can reach me. The Q&A of today, the topic is freedom. Do you feel free in America? That's my question. Do you feel free? Emotionally, socially, mentally, spiritually? What is freedom to you? Freedom, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants to.